number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan Studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime is the right time.
You're on the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Well, this is the day, Thursday, the greatest show in the NFL. The first round of the draft. Prime time, right in your living room. Chicago, Illinois. Who will the number one pick be? Jared Goff or Carson Wentz? Who will the Eagles take? How many trades will happen? It is the ultimate TV show. It is such a TV show that I give the NFL all the credit in the world for making it that. It is enjoyable to watch. It's a fun show. My sister is, she lives in Los Angeles. She does some amateur acting. She's in the entertainment business. She's in SAG and all of that. Her Academy Awards, the Academy Awards that happened at the end of February, she loves, that's her day. She loves the drama. She loves the suspense. She calls it her Super Bowl. And I've corrected her on a number of holidays, and I said, no, you should really say that's your NFL draft. Because what the NFL draft to us is the same thing that is to you. Why do you watch the Academy Awards? Do you really care who the best picture is? Or are you just curious as how history is going to define that year's pictures? It doesn't really matter if one picture wins over another. But history will always define that year as this is the year that Titanic won, or this is the year Hurt Locker won, whatever. NFL draft is the same thing. The same reason she watches for the drama, for the envelopes, for the I think this is what's going to happen. We watch the draft for the same way. Many of us do not have any idea how these teams break down their scouting department and how these teams break down their players. So to us, it is really the ultimate guessing game. It's the ultimate drama. It is just like the Academy Awards. And that's why I enjoy it. But I'm old enough to remember a time where the NFL draft wasn't on TV. I'm old enough to remember a time where, as a young football fan, and, you know, I watched as much college football as I could back then, but we only had three channels plus PBS. So it wasn't like I was getting the wide array of college talent. But I still knew enough about the names from, you know, my Sports Illustrated and my sporting news magazines that I had when I was a kid to know that if the Steelers selected a certain running back or a wide receiver or anything else like that, I could be really excited about that pick. But I saw it in the paper after it occurred on a Saturday. Now, many of us remember when the draft was on Saturday, where they had like the first three rounds on Saturday, and then they would finish it out over the weekend. And, you know, that's how you spent your weekend if you were an ultimate NFL draft kind of guy. And then they came up with this idea a couple of years ago of putting the first round on primetime television. I think this is about a six-year-old experiment, probably around that. It's been around for a while. And I remember being against this. I remember thinking, oh, come on, NFL. Really? Like, don't make it what it is. You own Saturday. You got all the playoff action, but you own that day. Don't give that up. I was dead wrong. This has become a great television show. They've trimmed it down. They've tightened it up. They got some of the bugs worked out, which is, hey, listen, if we're going to ask people to invest a Thursday night prime time into this, we can't give away picks on Twitter, or we can't give away picks on air before they happen. So they really did a good job of kind of tightening that up. They've added kind of the silliness of the red carpet, which I'm not a big fan of. But hey, listen, it is the ultimate television show, and credit the NFL for marketing it. I look at April and I see, I love the month of April. I think many of us do. I still like October better, but April is my second favorite sports month because of the wide variety that we get. All of the four major teams are in action. The college basketball season comes to an end. The Masters, you know, is underway. This is a great time. This is a great time of year, but it's even better because the draft has really developed into this fantastic drama-filled TV show. That's just fun to watch. We could argue back and forth. We can admire some team's ability to manipulate the draft and get picks and get good players. All of this stuff is just wonderful theater. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know what the ramifications of this is going to be 4 or 5 years from now, much like my sister with the Academy Awards, when a a best picture, Spotlight wins, maybe 5 years from now, people will go, yeah, maybe Spotlight wasn't the best movie that year. But in the end, it doesn't matter. This does matter. The Philadelphia Eagles have mortgaged some stuff to get that number two pick, to get the guy the Rams don't want. What does it mean for them? What does it mean for Sam Bradford? This matters. The LA Rams are going to get a guy, probably Jared Goff, and they're going to market that, and they're going to make Jared Goff the face of that franchise, and they're going to make him the marquee guy for LA fans who are going to fall back in love with the Rams. Matters. The Dallas Cowboys had a team that 2 years ago was in the playoffs, lost Tony Romo. We know how the story went, and instead they floundered to a 4-12 record. They're picking fourth. Are they the playoff team that they were 2 years ago, minus DeMarco Murray and a couple of others? Or are they really a mediocre team that could really use an impact player right away? It matters. So the draft does matter. This stuff is going to be fun, and it's going to be impactful, and teams are going to celebrate, or teams are going to be distraught. There's probably going to be some fan bases on Thursday night that are going to boo the picks, and there's others that are going to be genuinely, genuinely happy. Some are just going to be itching to get the guy when he falls to him. Right? Let's for example, Ezekiel Elliott. Let's say the Cowboys pass him and he just keeps falling. There's going to be a fan base thrilled that Ezekiel Elliott fell into their lap. And there's going to be other fan bases that are going to be excited when their teams call up the other teams and say, hey, guess what? We want to make a trade because we want to move up. And when that announcement is made, this is the fun stuff of sports. We can stress about our teams during the fall. This is actually a time where we can really love what the future can have. Or we can sort of go, my team never knew what it's doing. 800-777-2907. You want to join us on the show tonight? Also hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. I got to tell you my schedule tonight, my television watching schedule, because it was loaded with sports. I got four TVs in my house, bedroom, media room, living room, office. Okay, I had them all on the Yankee Ranger game tonight. I really wanted to watch the Yankee Ranger game tonight. So I had it upstairs in the bedroom while I was doing some laundry, and then I moved downstairs to make some dinner, and that was on in the living room, and I'm watching that. Then I switched to basketball, and I'm watching Miami and Charlotte, then I'm going back to the Yankee game. But then, so after the Yankee game, I say, all right, I'll watch basketball for a little bit, but I've got game 7 of the Nashville Predators, and I really want to see that game because I live in Nashville, and I'm kind of a quasi-Preds fan. So now I'm watching the Preds, and I'm like, well, I gotta talk basketball tonight. So I got to cut back and see what's going on in the NBA. I couldn't do it. I couldn't watch it anymore. I am so tired of these first round matchups. I can't do it anymore. I'm telling you, I'm glad the Rockets got blown out tonight. All right, I'm glad that Portland is now up 3-2. I don't know if this is putting the Clippers out of their misery or not. Apparently the Charlotte-Miami game was good, but you know what? I said this yesterday. I don't care about anybody in the East except Cleveland, and I'm a Celtics fan for crying out loud. These first round matchups stink. They stink. The second round? All right, we're going to get San Antonio and Oklahoma City. All right, I can enjoy that. I'm not enjoying anything coming out of the Eastern Conference, but I can at least enjoy that. Portland, if they win this series going up against Golden State, Steph Curry might as well sit out this series too. And thanks for playing, Houston Rockets, as they get blown out by 30 points. No team wanted out of this playoffs more. They just could not stand being in this postseason. And now the worst, a dysfunctional team that hated each other and all of the problems with the Rockets, they're done. We don't have to worry about them anymore. Done in 5. But you know what? I stopped thinking about it. They're supposed to be done in 5. Like, even if they played hard, they were probably going to be done in 5. Even if they gave out a full effort. Players know. They know when they don't, they're not, you know, they may talk a talk, you know, like, hey, anything can happen. We're just as good. But deep down, they know. When we play our best, sometimes we just don't have it. So should I be mad at the Rockets for losing by 33 points? Yeah, in a way. I mean, it's insulting to the game to just lay down like that. But they laid down like that. And now Dwight Howard, another failed season. Thanks for playing, NBA. All right, 800-777-2907. And I was glad I watched Nashville beat Anaheim 2-1 to advance to the second round. Break out Vince Gill and Carrie Underwood, baby. The Predators are going to round number two. Coming up, Sam Bradford's saga's got a new twist. We talked about that yesterday, but now there's a team in play that could land his services. Who? I'll tell you next. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio as Tony D takes you through the night tonight. Good night for the Nashville Predators. I'm really excited. I hardly ever bring the hockey to the table here, and I apologize for you hockey fans. I can't kid myself. All right, I don't follow it. I'm not watching a lot of games. I'll watch the Stanley Cup conference semifinals, or the conference finals, I should say. I'll watch that, and I'll watch the Stanley Cup finals. But I'm not watching San Jose against Dallas, or I'm just not. And I'm not going to pretend to be. I follow the NBA. That's my passion. My wife's more of the hockey person in our house, but you know, our whole household is, we're all Predators fans, so this was a big night for us as they beat Anaheim 2-1. So I'm pretty excited. I'm really excited because in Nashville, believe me, when I moved to Nashville from Denver, people like my friends in the inner circle of Denver media that I hung out with were kind of teasing me like about the only thing that Nashville had was the Tennessee Titans and the Nashville Predators. But that's hockey in the South. How good could that possibly be? And I moved here thinking, all right, it's just going to be Titans and that's really an SEC football and that's pretty much going to be it. But then we went to a couple of Predators games, and I could not believe how packed Bridgestone Arena is for Predators games. And they're extremely popular. And they're knowledgeable. The fan base is knowledgeable. And the cool thing about going to a Predators game is because we live in the Music City, there's always music acts that play in between periods. And sometimes you can get Melissa McBride or Vince Gill or whoever, that some of these bigger name country talents will play in between periods, especially during the postseason. So, and Vince Gill is always there screaming and hollering. So it's always fun. All right. So Sam Bradford, we broke this down yesterday. We said, look, Bradford's kind of on the, I want to give me the competition and I should be the starter and you paid me to be the starter and now you're getting a quarterback. That's my Sam Bradford impression, but that's the only Sam Bradford impression I know because I wouldn't know what Sam Bradford sounds like because I barely hear him talk. So if I go 24-75 left in two, that's my Sam Bradford impression for that. If it's, we really had a good game beating the Dallas Cowboys today. I was really excited the way our offensive line played. That's my Sam Bradford impression for that. That's the only Sam Bradford impression that I know.
The other one would be him just saying ow and being
hurt. Oh, yeah, right. Or the better one is, ow, my leg again. I can't believe it for the fifth time. Oh, I think I tore an ACL. Or better yet, it's probably torn off. Oh.
That's the better Sam Bradford.
That's the better one. So that's my Sam Bradford impression for everything. Yeah, that's my Sam Bradford impression for everything. So we said this yesterday that, his agent went on like some, radio shows and was complaining, like, hey, how could the Eagles do this? You paid my guy $35 million. You gave him $11 million guaranteed. You gave him a 2-year deal. You told him he's going to be the starter. And then out of nowhere, you take a bunch of your picks we kind of need, by the way, and then you package them up and you trade them to the Cleveland Browns. And in return, you're saying, hey, whoever the Rams don't want, that's good enough for us. Well, on the one hand, it's kind of a legitimate athlete complaint, right? You want the team you're playing for to have your back. If they say you're our guy, you kind of want them, you want to be their guy. You want them to show that you're their guy. The Eagles are clearly not doing this. But at the same time, this is a league where they will churn you out and spit you out, and you better be able to produce. There's no charity cases in the NFL. Tebow's a perfect example. Tebow's a perfect example. Almost everybody that has Tebow in camp raves about him, right? The Jets did it. The Patriots did it. The Eagles did it. They all rave about him. Oh, he's the first one here. He's the last one out. I can't believe it. The work ethic is unbelievable on this kid. He's phenomenal. But then when push comes to shove, they can't give him a job. He can't play, so they can't give him a job. Same thing with what Bradford is facing. This is a guy that's been injured forever. And while he had a pretty good season last year and got really good towards the end, really played well late in the season, the Eagles see an opportunity to get a real true franchise quarterback. And they're basically saying, yeah, you're not really a franchise quarterback. Okay. So now Bradford wants a trade, or allegedly has said he wants a trade. There is a team that can dance with the Eagles and wants to dance with the Eagles. Obviously on their terms, but wants to dance with the Eagles. And that's John Elway and the Denver Broncos. According to Mike Kliss at News 9 in Denver, the Broncos are, quote, all in on a potential deal for Sam Bradford. Now, this does make a little bit of sense. Let me reiterate. Bradford played 14 games last season, and he wasn't bad. And late in the season, he was actually pretty good. And we've said, look, the Broncos need a quarterback. They don't need a Hall of Fame quarterback, but they just need somebody that can play the position pretty well. I think Bradford could be classified as pretty well. Not great. I'm not a believer in him long term. I think this is a guy that when his career's over, you're going to look back on the career of Sam Bradford, and the only thing you're really going to see is dollar signs. Somebody 10 years from now is going to write this great essay on Sam Bradford. And the only reason people 10 years from now are going to want to read it is because it's going to be just one of those interesting tales of how the NFL before rookie cap and all that stuff, before all of that, that how this is one of the reasons why this you had to have some sort of control. This guy made X amount of dollars, and this is how long he played, and this is how many touchdowns he threw, and that comes out to $5 million a touchdown or whatever it's going to be. Somebody 10 years from now is going to tell the tale of Sam Bradford. It's going to be on the angle of money. It's not going to be on the angle of accomplishments. I don't believe Sam Bradford is going to be in the Super Bowl. I don't think he's going to lead Denver to a Super Bowl, and they've got a good defense coming back. I don't think Sam Bradford is an answer really long-term for anybody. But you know what? In this league where you need quarterbacks, where quarterbacks are just not growing on trees, Bradford can still make himself a really good living playing the way he's playing now. Just be somewhat okay. Win a few games. Don't go crazy on the turnovers. Stay healthy and keep utilizing some experience. You're not going to wow anybody, and no team is going to feel really great that Sam Bradford is the quarterback, but he's already made a tremendous amount of money. He's going to make more money, and that is where Sam Bradford is going to be 10 years from now. The guy that basically took X amount of dollars from the league and gave us this. So should the Broncos be? I think this is a fine. This is a fine move for Denver if they want to make it. All right. If indeed the price is right, this is a fine move. But what's on the other side of this? The Philadelphia Eagles. Dave Spadaro is going to join us from PhiladelphiaEagles.com to talk about whether or not the Eagles will dance with the Denver Broncos on this deal. Because I don't think they will. Because I think the Eagles are sticking to the plan of, we just gave you $11 million guaranteed and $35 million overall. And you know what? We'd be more than happy to give you all $35 million of that if, A, you play well, and, B, you continue to hold this position down until our franchise quarterback is ready to take it over from you. And if you don't like that, well, too bad. But we're giving you a lot of money to do that, and we would like for you to do that. And I think that's the plan for the Eagles. Because I don't think the Eagles want to take Carson Wentz and start him right away. Some teams do. Some teams don't. I don't know if that's the Eagles' position right now. I don't think this is where the Eagles want to go right now. I remember saying that about the Tennessee Titans. As soon as the Tennessee Titans drafted Marcus Mariota, knew they were going to keep him, I could tell Zach Mettenberger's days were over. Oh, yeah, people in Tennessee were like, yeah, you know, there'll be a battle in camp, and Mettenberger's got a little experience, so he'll probably win out. And I was like, no, not the way they're marketing Mariota. He's on the billboards. He's on the ticket things. He's on the TV commercials. Everyone's talking about him. The team has already made him sort of the face of the franchise immediately. Yeah, they're going to throw him to the Wolves right away, and they did. The Eagles, I don't think, want to do that with Carson Wentz when they draft him. So we'll talk to Dave Spadaro coming up next on the saga. Will the Broncos and the Eagles dance around for Sam Bradford? That's coming up next on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Tony D here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. Yesterday we talked about Sam Bradford and the Philadelphia Eagles, and with the draft coming up tonight in Chicago, it's a lot of looking at what the Eagles will do with that two pick and who they'll get at quarterback, whoever the Rams take and who's ever available. But what about Bradford's situation in Philadelphia? Dave Spadaro joins us from PhiladelphiaEagles.com to talk about that and the Eagles. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing great. Thanks. How are you doing?
Thank you very much for your time. The reports out of Denver are that the Denver Broncos are in on a possible trade with Bradford. What is the level of interest in the Eagles dancing with the Broncos on a deal for Bradford?
Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, I don't think the Eagles are interested in giving Sam Bradford away. They obviously have a strategy of being competitive this year. The NFC is wide open. Grooming the young quarterback, whether it's Jared Goff or Carson Wentz. And then going from there. So, I mean, the Eagles believe that Sam Bradford will be ready to play quarterback in September and that he'll be ready to keep them a competitive team in the NFC East.
Bradford's contention is that, hey, listen, I was the paid money to be the starter, and now you're going to get a quarterback. This is a league that doesn't guarantee anything, but does Bradford have a legitimate complaint here?
No, I mean, I really don't think that there's much of a situation where there's, and look, I understand it's emotional. I understand that it is a situation where, well, you know, hey, look, it looks like it's one way. But in the NFL, you have to prepare for every single scenario. You've got to prepare for every angle, every way a trade can go, a player can go, a position analysis can go. So in this one, I think it's very difficult to project beyond what's right in front of you, especially when you talk about somebody like Sam Bradford, who's had so many injuries. He signed a 2-year contract. Somebody who has been injured as much as Sam has been injured, it's very difficult to ask a team to look beyond and look way down the line here. So, look, Sam has a right to do as he chooses, to feel as he chooses, to react as he wants. That doesn't mean the Eagles have to acquiesce to his wishes. And in the end, I think the Eagles really hope that the emotions calm down and that the reality is in front of everybody. Sam Bradford's here. He's the starter at the quarterback position in 2016. And I think it would be best for everyone, and the Eagles certainly think it would be best for everyone, to get the most out of Sam and have both Sam play well. And if he plays well, that means the team does well.
You can look at the numbers of Sam Bradford last season, but overall he did get better as the season went on. How would you assess his 2015 campaign?
Yeah, really, really got better. I mean, early in the season, there was just so much rust on that body and on the mind and on the timing. Everything was just slower, and he took a lot of hits, and just wasn't as effective. You know, by the end of the month of November, much more in sync, much more confident, stepped into his throws, got the ball down the field. The numbers improved clearly, and the performance of the offense improved. So, it was really very much a night and day situation for Bradford, and that's why the Eagles went the way they did and signed Bradford to the 2-year contract.
How are the Eagle fans taking the trade for the pick? Because on the one hand, they got something they know. I don't know if they love him or like him or whatnot, but now there's the unknown, and sometimes that unknown is always more popular because it's mysterious. How are Eagle fans taking what could be an interesting quarterback situation for their team next year?
Yeah, they it's been mixed, and then I would tell you that mixed initially, and then when Sam left the team, it's been very much in the anti-Sam Bradford campaign, and the fans are getting to know mostly Carson Wentz. I mean, that's kind of the prevailing theme in Philadelphia, is that it will be Jared Goff to the Los Angeles Rams, and then Carson Wentz to the Philadelphia Eagles. So the way that Carson's been portrayed is that he's this young, hungry Philadelphia tough guy. So they've reacted much more favorably to the trade and much more negatively towards Sam Bradford since Sam made the decision to walk away from these voluntary workouts.
All right, now there's been a shift now with Chip Kelly out. Doug Peterson comes in. What is the state of the Eagles right now? We're gonna talk about draft and all the plug-and-play guys that could possibly come in the next couple seven rounds. But what's the state of the Eagles right now? How do they look?
Yeah, I mean, they look like a team that's made a lot of moves, that's coming off a disappointing season with Chip Kelly, that has a new coaching staff, that brought in several new players in free agency who will have prominent roles in 2016. They look like a team that, when Bradford was here, would be competitive, and when he is back, that's the way the Eagles feel anyway, that when Sam comes back, they'll be competitive in the NFC East, trying to keep an eye on the future and grooming this young quarterback, whether it's Goff or Wentz. So it's the beginning of a new era. Doug Peterson is a rookie quarterback. They are a rookie head coach. They're going to draft the rookie quarterback, and they hope that they are, in a way, in a very strong way, reprising 1999 and the Andy Reid era as the head coach and the Donovan McNabb era as the quarterback.
I want to go back to Bradford for a second, and again, the move that the Eagles make. Because if you go get the number one overall pick, you could say, well, we've done our evaluation, and we know the guy we want, and that's why we're going after that guy. But the Eagles are basically getting whoever the Rams don't want. And is that still better than a better option in the future than Sam Bradford?
Yeah, they think that these two quarterbacks are, you know, quote, franchise quarterbacks. They value both Goff and Wentz that way. They think that this is a rare trip inside the top 10 of the draft. I think they've had, this is the second time the Eagles will draft inside the top 10 in the last 15 years. So, you know, for them, they do think that the upside of Goff and Wentz is very high, is at the franchise level, and that's why they made the deal. They felt this is a chance to go from 8 to 2 and something that they really wouldn't have an opportunity to do in the future.
Dave Spadaro joins us, PhiladelphiaEagles.com, with the Eagles having the number 2 overall pick in the draft. Dave, how different is the team going to look in terms of scheme or plans with Doug Peterson now as the head coach?
Yeah, I think from a fan standpoint, the obvious difference is that, you know, in Chip Kelly's time here, the offense did not huddle. It was all about tempo, tempo, tempo. That's not what they want to do with Doug Peterson. It's going back very much so to the Andy Reid era. The practice script, for example, is exactly the same. It's a West Coast offense. They want to utilize the personnel in different ways. But I think the most obvious thing for the fans, who generally don't notice, you know, as much formation variations as you'll see, it's going to be the tempo thing. They will huddle. They will run the football. They want to play power football. And they want to control the clock. Defensively, they're going to come up the field. They're Jim Schwartz defense. He's the defensive coordinator. They're going to play the wide nine where the defensive ends are lined up outside, and they're going to go after the quarterback. That is what this defense is all about.
The rest of the picks, the rest of the weekend, is there a side of the football that the Eagles should be concentrating on?
I think they concentrate on the line of scrimmage. I think they have the second pick in the draft. Then they don't select again until 79. That's a third-round pick. You'll see them attack the offensive line. They want to get pass rushers. They need help at linebacker. So I'm not sure if there's one side of the line. I think it's the line of scrimmage, offensive line, defensive line, where the Eagles really want to attack. They feel that this draft is deep in offensive linemen, defensive linemen, and I think that they will concentrate their efforts there.
Dave Spadaro, PhiladelphiaEagles.com. They have the number 2 pick coming up Thursday night. Appreciate it, Dave. Great talking to you as always.
My pleasure. Anytime.
All right, and I know the Eagles with that number 2 pick are not going to have it's not a game changer, whoever they take. Look for that to come maybe with San Diego's pick, maybe with Dallas' pick. It depends where Paxton Lynch goes. If he goes very, very early, could change the complexion of the draft going down. If he's still on the board and teams who have iffy quarterback situations continue to go along, that's where I see where the draft could really shift for people. But it looks like Carson Wentz is going to be a Philadelphia Eagle. Jared Goff, by all indications, is going to be the number 1 pick. And then Wentz is going to go to Philadelphia, where he's going to be the man that's going to be behind Sam Bradford. And if you watch this play out on other NFL teams, it really is a difficult, it's an awkward situation for a quarterback to be in, to know that I'm going to get it from the fans if I start screwing up, because everybody loves the guy that holds the clipboard, especially the guy that's supposed to be the future of the franchise, just waiting to take his turn. Could be some really shaky times in Philadelphia. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio.
and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us, cutting through the night tonight. We're going to be all over the draft tomorrow. So if you love the draft, and I know most of you do, we are going to be all over it. We're going on about an hour early tomorrow night. So we'll be that. But we'll still be on during our normal. It's just more work for me. So we'll still be on at whatever time you listen to us during the overnights. But we're going to have complete coverage of the 2016 NFL Draft. So I said this earlier tonight. I'm really wondering how this draft is going to shake out after we get through the first two picks. Because the first two picks should take 8 seconds, right? They should go up together, right? The Eagles will take the next guy. Like both of them, you know what they should do? They should do it like American Idol. That would be awesome, right?
That would be cool.
Like get Ryan Seacrest in there. And just have them sitting on the stage, Carson Wentz and Jared Goff holding hands, you know, as Seacrest takes the envelope. And he's like, America has spoken. I mean, the LA Rams have spoken, but, you know, play along. America has spoken. The 2016 American Idol, 2016 first round draft pick, is Jared Goff. And then would be really cool, like if Steve Harvey came in and was like, oh, no, I'm sorry, no, oh, no, my bad. It's Carson Wentz, ladies and gentlemen, Carson Wentz. Oh.
I want Jeff Fisher standing behind him with a helmet, like holding it over both their heads and going back and forth.
Going, what?
Who am I
going
to put it on?
Oh, that'd be great. Now, that's actually a better idea than bringing in Ryan Seacrest. Making fun of those stupid hat ceremonies that high school kids do.
Yeah.
Like where they go, am I going to Auburn or am I going to Ole Miss? You don't know. I'm mixing it up. Oh, my God, I got the rebel hat on. No, I don't. No, I mean, that would be great. Yeah, if he just hovered that little. And better yet, if you could throw Paxton Lynch in there, too, right, and make it like one of those games that you see on the big screen of baseball games where, like, Jeff Fisher has got the helmet and it's like, bam, 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 and everyone in the crowd's going, one, two. That would be great. Bam, 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 bam. There's many ways we can make the draft a lot more fun than it already is, especially in this year. I mean, this is like flip a coin, man. Flip, boom, Carson Wentz. Woo, take him. The Rams. I think when people really process, when Sam Bradford really processes what the Eagles have done to him or what they're saying to him, I think it would make anybody angry. I can't blame Sam Bradford for being angry. I know our guest Dave Spadaro says, like, hey, you know, this is the way it goes, and yeah, I get it, but if you're Sam Bradford's older brother or you're just like that pokey friend that likes to just kind of be passive aggressive, you could legitimately go, wow, they don't even know who they're getting and they already know that's better than you. That's basically what the Eagles are saying. Sam, we don't even know who we're going to take. We're going to take the second best quarterback in this draft. And even that guy is better than you. Boy, I'd be upset too. How's he supposed to go back to camp? How is Sam Bradford supposed to? I don't know if Sam Bradford's married or not, but how would he tell his significant other about this? He would be more like, "Yeah, they're gonna give me the time. I can't believe you're starting job. They give me all this money again." It's my Sam Bradford impression. I got to roll with it. I can't change now. Don't change your socks in mid-series. But that's basically all he's got. That's basically what he's got. Now, if he gets traded to Denver, then all of a sudden he's, you know, he's back to being one of those quarterbacks you need to know in the 2016 season. Because he's going to be quarterbacking the defending Super Bowl champs. He's going to be like Brian Griese. A little better than Brian Griese. But remember, the Broncos won the Super Bowl, Elway retired, and then Griese got the job. And nobody wants to be the guy that follows the guy. You want to be the guy that follows the guy that had to follow the guy. So Bradford would be following Manning, but Manning was really following Osweiler, who was following Manning. So it still all works out in the end. No, Bradford's in a really weird situation. It's really, really bizarre. Listen, again, I was talking with Dave. if you have the number one pick, if you're the LA Rams, let's say, and you have the number one pick, that's an easy sell because you could say, look, we did our evaluations of these guys, and the guy we want on this team, we know who it is, and we feel like his skills are going to be what we want. We've seen him. We know we can coach him. We know we can like the system. He's marketable. These are the things that we like about him. So we made this move to get the number one pick because we believe in this guy. The Eagles did no such thing. The Eagles said, we're going to get in that swimming pool of quarterbacks because any one of them is better than you. And now how is Bradford supposed to go back and go, I don't know. It's going to be wild. Really weird. I'm wondering where Paxton Lynch is going to go in this draft, though, because people are saying he could go early, and then other people say, no, be careful. If he could reach that that Death Valley time in the draft where they're like nobody needs a quarterback, so he's falling 12, 13, 14, 15. He's just completely falling, a la Brady Quinn. You just reach that moment where it's just too much. That could be where Paxton Lynch could hover anywhere. But the other question, and we're going to explore this coming up in the next hour, is Connor Cook. Because Connor Cook has been pretty much labeled a second-round pick for a lot of the offseason, as you've done all the evaluations. Now, just recently, there's been a lot of buzz about Connor Cook potentially going late in the first round, which would give the draft 4 quarterbacks in the first round. Now, sometimes this is posturing. If you've covered the draft or you follow the draft, sometimes people just get like this. They get excited about the guy nobody's really talking about, and then he catches a buzz, and in the end, proper evaluation goes, nah, he's a second-round guy. Don't worry about it. He's a second-round guy. But there's enough on Connor Cook. We're going to talk to Eric Galco from Sporting News next hour about all of this stuff coming up next. So stick around. I am Tony D, and this is Yahoo Sports Radio.